WWIB, Wib Wake Up Show, 545. And we bring in another person at this time of the morning, our buddy Jason Cans from jasoncans.com. Good morning, Dr. Cans. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you this morning, Mark?
I had a really, really good weekend. And usually about 90 minutes from now, we kind of share our weekends, Caleb Hillary and I. But it was celebrating my mom's 80th birthday. She joined us Friday in the show. First time ever. She'd always declined my invitations to be on the radio. But she's like, yeah, you know what? My 80th birthday. And so now she's like, that was kind of fun. So
it was fun to see the pictures that you had shared of spending some time with her. And Evelyn, too, shared some pictures. Uh-huh. It was really a sweet thing. So
thanks a lot. Yeah. So anyhow, that was a big part of the weekend. Saw the Mr. Rogers movie. It's at the MyCon budget. It just started there over the weekend. So check that out. The only thing is, the challenge is going to be, I think, during the week, it may be like 8:20 at night, but we caught the 3 o'clock show yesterday. But I know you've been wanting to see that.
Yeah. In fact, I was just thinking about Mr. Rogers this morning. So I was thinking that he would be a good hero for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just his commitment to kindness, his love for humanity. I'm glad you said that. I have been eager to see that.
Yeah, absolutely. And sort of the MyCon budget had been closed for a while. It's opened again. Hey, we got to mention book news regarding Notes from the Upper Room, Lessons in Loving Like Jesus. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I think as we've been talking, I've been eager for that to come out. My hope was to have it out before Easter, and indeed it has been. And it's up and it's available on Amazon, and both in an ebook and a paperback version. And so it's fun to actually see that in print. I have had some good response from folks eager to read it. And one of the interesting things that happened was I ordered a bunch of copies for myself. So if people are wanting to get them from me, they can. But my order doesn't actually come in until next Friday. But my cousin Rachel also ordered a couple of copies, and hers come in on Tuesday. So she'll actually see the finished product before I do, which is interesting and frustrating.
All right, so not your cousin Vinny, but your cousin Rachel.
Correct, yes, yeah. Yes. One of my dear cousins, she's like my sister.
Huh.
But it's just really exciting to see all of that moving forward and just the excitement stirring around that.
Absolutely. It was. I held a copy in my hands like a week ago, and then I'm like, can I keep this? No, I couldn't. But anyhow, I applaud you. This is exciting. You've written the book on poetry, which I tried to help promote over the weekend. That was free on Kindle. So
yeah, I put it up for free on Kindle on the weekend. I think just out of my eagerness to see the book moving forward, mm-hmm. I thought, you know what, I'm just going to put my first one out and drop the price to zero. Maybe some folks will read it. And actually, shortly after I did that, Amazon approved my book and put it up in the store. So I thought, well, maybe that was all that needed to happen, was Amazon needed to see me promoting my other book.
There we go.
So
excellent. Well, it worked well.
Yeah.
All right, what do we got for a devotion today? This is also from Notes from the Upper Room as we work our way through John 13, right?
Yeah, so it's a short one this morning. It's John 13:20. Which says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever receives the one I send receives me, and whoever receives me, the one who sent me. So Jesus had been preparing these men, his disciples, for ministry and for service, and he would soon be commissioning them to carry his message of the kingdom out into the world. And so he spent so much of his time teaching them because he wanted them to see and understand this revolutionary message that he had. He wanted to ensure that when they shared the message, they would represent it and represent him accurately. He also needed them to understand that anyone could receive his message of grace and would be welcomed into the kingdom of God. When you accept Jesus, you are accepted into his family. There are no exceptions. We often worry that we are the wrong kind of Christian. Sure, we love Jesus, but if we don't fit the normal Christian mold, we question whether we belong. But Jesus came to shatter the mold of performance-based religion, yet so often it seems like we keep trying to hammer ourselves and other people back into it.
Boy, so much out of that comes to mind. For one thing, it is, I think, coming out of the initial relationship between God and the Jew, I mean, that's a huge deal as we transition into the New Testament, is that the Jews and the Gentiles, that salvation is available to everyone, right?
Right, exactly. And so often it seems that we want to get back into that Jewish mentality. You know, most of the people listening to you this morning are probably not Jewish,
mm-hmm.
but we so often want to get into that who's in, who's out mentality, as opposed to saying, you know what, we have this loving God who welcomes anyone who wants to come in.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. And then even this message in the heels of the Mr. Rogers movie, and actually he's warming up in the other room, so I think we're going to hear Mr. Rogers in just a moment, on the heels of our best 5 minutes of the day. But that idea, the message that comes through in this Tom Hanks movie, which is a part of the legacy of Mr. Rogers, who left us, you know, 15, 16 years ago, is the idea of everyone is loved, that everyone is special and everyone is fearfully and wonderfully made. And boy, for us to embrace that and live that out is a huge deal.
It is. I think it's good for us to remind ourselves every day. And I think especially when we run into folks who make us angry, who really look at things differently than we do, that very person, every individual, was created in the image of God.
Mm-hmm.
And because everyone is created in the image of God, everyone is precious to him. Everyone is deserving of his love, or our love, because of his love for them.
So here's the deal, Jason. I came away from the movie yesterday and hearing the song, the Won't You Be My Neighbor, and I'm like, I got to work that in somewhere into the early part of the WIB Wake Up Show, 5:30 to 7. I don't know where its ultimate landing place will be, but today it's right after you and I, okay?
It's a wonderful.
All right.
Neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor.
Saturday is Leap Day. Joining us on the phone here, as he does most Mondays, is our comedian and counselor friend, Drew Fralick from Detroit, Michigan. Good morning, Drew.
Hey, Mark. How are you?
You know, I let you know yesterday, we kind of tried to touch base as
right.
We close in on Monday, and I'm like, what about Leap Day? What about talking about how to spend Leap Day? What was your response to me?
I mean, I was like, my first response was like, is that even still a thing? Like, I thought they got rid of that after the Depression, and I don't know. And then I started looking into it, and it opened this, like, Pandora's box in my mind, like, why do we do this? And it's like the year is 6 hours longer.
Yeah, I'm looking at the whole Wikipedia on it. It's February 29th, leap day or leap year. Did you know that the non-leap years are just called common years? Like, this is special.
All the other years,
2021, 22, 20, those are going to be common years, and then we're going to have a leap year again.
This is an uncommon year. Okay.
It is.
Okay.
Yeah, it's
this. I mean, the other question I had, too, you know, this really set off a bomb in my mind. I started thinking, why does February only have 28 days?
Mm-hmm.
It's like they tried to erase February. Like,
February's like the short child, right? I mean, out of 12 kids, 12 months in the year, I mean, this one's kind of short, or gets shorts changed, I guess. This is interesting.
I mean, can we admit that it's the worst month? Can we at least admit that?
No, I don't think the worst. I mean, you got Valentine's Day. You're transitioning from winter to spring. And it's flexible. It could, because it's short, it was able to take on an extra day.
I guess that's a very positive view.
Yeah.
See, I have this, like, negative view of it. And I'm going to put on my counselor cap for a minute here.
Uh-huh.
I think it depends on how do you view this day. Is it a good thing or a bad thing? You know, like, do you want to put all these negative events onto February 29th so you can avoid them? You know, like your mother-in-law's birthday, Lions opening day, you know, all your library books are due on February 29th. I don't know.
Here's the thing. You spent 4 years in China. How about this? February 29th is the 60th day of the Gregorian calendar in a year with 306 days remaining until the end of the year. But in the Chinese calendar, this day will only occur in years of the monkey, dragon, and rat. Did you know that?
Okay. So, okay. You're one-upping me in your China knowledge today. Yeah, I was wondering about that. You know, they've got the 12 different signs and everything. I was born in the year of the rat, so what does that mean? I don't know.
That's not something. I think when you were getting to know your wife, when you were courting her, you didn't mention that right away. So,
right.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing, too, is I want to say this, you know, because I feel like this is important. To the guys who are out there who are getting married on Leap Day,
yeah,
you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, don't try to fool us. Like, you're freeing yourself up to remember your anniversary 25% of the time. Yeah. You know, your wife gets mad at you like, you forgot our anniversary.
Think,
you're like, no, I didn't. Look at the sundial.
Not yet. You need to celebrate February 28th and March 1st both then, right? And the same thing with birth. We had a listener, Cassie. She just gave birth to a child here in the last week or so. But I'd been wondering, like, it was close to I would ask this as we wrap up here, Drew Frelick, is if you're pregnant right now, I'd love to hear from a listener who is at 396-1670, but are you hoping to give birth on Saturday on Leap Day? Do you want a Leap Day baby who only gets his or her, you know, actual birthday every 4 years? Is that something you want or not?
How old would you be, Mark, out of curiosity?
Yeah, I was born in 64. I was born in a leap year. How about you?
I was born in the year of the rat, so apparently that's just
right. Very good. Thank you, Drew.
All right, take care. Have a good week.
Drew Frelick from Michigan talking about, Leap Day on Saturday. How are you going to spend it? Well, we usually recap our weekends here. I got to say, I think I may have had as good a weekend as I've had since we started doing this show together, like in the fall of 2018.
Do share.
Wonderful.
Yeah,
share.
I mean, a play at Chi High Friday night, Into the Woods. Shout out to all those fine thespians, particularly Izzy Palnasik, who's a senior at Chi High. And boy, she is the daughter of my pastor and his wife. And outstanding. But again, the cast was outstanding. And I got to see the Mr. Rogers movie last night. Again, it's at Mycon Budget. We've all been talking about seeing
that.
Yeah, you've been waiting
Tom
for
Hanks.
That one,
yeah.
For sure. I think we all have.
But in between my mom's 80th birthday party in Milwaukee on Saturday night, posted some pictures on Facebook. And so that was a great sell. And just connecting with family.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
You know, my family, my mom and dad got divorced after my freshman year in college. And so my mom now is well into her second marriage, 32, heading on 33 years. Very, very happily married. But, and there's no question, like, the Lord brought these two together. Her second husband, his wife had died of brain cancer.
Oh, my.
And so they've been together for many years. But it was a great celebration and just felt like some more family healing. And then there's more that needs to still happen. So.
Wonderful.
Sure. Great weekend.
Fantastic. We, I had a kiddo that wasn't feeling the best, so we had a lot of at-home time. I did laundry and paid bills and prepped tax stuff. But I had choir practice last night, which was always fun.
March 1st,
yeah, less than a week
Sunday.
To go. Sunday, 2 p.m., 7 p.m. performances. We'll be having Gary Rambo on with us on Wednesday to discuss that. All proceeds will benefit Feed My People Food Bank, so that's great. Wonderful, 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 wonderful church service yesterday.
Mm.
I think my pastor did, because I go to church in Altoona, he did just a fantastic job of addressing everything that's going on in our city right now, and really brought some words of comfort and some prayer to the table.
Is that message available, like a podcast or anything?
I don't think it is.
If it was,
I don't think it is. Yeah, he did a great job, though.
Good.
So it was just what I needed.
Well, I enjoyed some time with my side of the family, Lindsay's side of the family yesterday. It was great to have my dad back from Haiti. So we spent some time. The kids tromped around in the mud a lot yesterday
yes.
and got dirty, which is exactly what kids should do this time of year.
Yep.
And going back to Saturday morning, so my wife went to pick up Lily from her dad's, and so they went out to do some shopping together. Now, it's my wife, so it's like Goodwill and stuff like
yeah.
that. Again, very
I
just,
hear you.
Frugal
mm-hmm.
and thrifty.
Oh, yeah,
awesome.
I love it.
So I had some extended time with the youngest two members of my family. And I'd kind of decided not to give myself any sort of a pat on the back because I opt for the electronic babysitter way, way too often. But I thought, you know what? We're going to do this without the aid of TV.
Sure.
And so we played red light, green light. We played tag. We played tackle football. We cuddled on the couch and read books. We played soccer.
Awesome.
We played hide and seek. And I did, I mean, just.
It's a lot.
Yeah. You
yeah.
made it
and
happen.
And by the time we finished all of those things, it's only 11 o'clock in the morning. And I was just thinking, like, wow. And again, I love my children. I love my favorite part, again, was in a sunbeam cuddling on the couch
yes.
reading the books. But it's like, wow, I feel like very spent. And it's only 11 in the
it's
morning.
Only 11
and I've
in
done
the morning.
All of this.
Yeah.
You know,
you
needed
so,
a nap.
Yeah.
I guess so.
That's why crafts are so great, because they're like the sit and do.
Yeah. Mm. See, for my youngest two, crafts don't necessarily have the appeal. For my eldest, absolutely. Mm. The youngest. No, it's more active
tackle
activities.
Football.
Yeah.
There we go. Nora's Cooper's blocker when we play tackle football. They score a lot on me.
Well, in marriage, things can get pretty interesting and good to have conversations and open communication. But now here's the question. How much can you spend without checking in with your spouse about it? That's the question that I'm posing.
Yeah, Ameriprise, a survey comes out of
this. Ameriprise Financial released a survey that found that the average spending limit that necessitated a conversation was $400.
Seems really high.
I know it does.
it seems really high. So, I don't know. I mean, I
dropped four Benjamins this afternoon. Hope that's fine.
Yeah, no, it's not. I guess we kind of err more towards the $100 mark, you know, but I mean, I do all of the shopping. I really do. So, I mean, I can go in and go grocery shopping or shop for shoes for the kids or whatever. I can drop $150 without like batting an eye or telling my husband, but I think it's a difference of, you know, like those are, you know, it's not a single item. If I have a single ticket item that I'm like, hey, this isn't in the budget, but I want it. Like that's where we're talking.
You know, my wife and I mean, she does a lot more shopping spending as well, but there's a mutual trust of, like, we're both frugal. There's not a, like, neither of us is a huge spender.
Right.
And so that's great to have, actually. From what I hear, a lot of marriages have somebody who
a
really
spender
is
and a saver.
One spender,
yeah,
one saver,
and so I think we're both wanting that. And then some of the costs that can really sock you are medical costs, and you kind of don't have a choice there.
Yeah,
right.
True.
And so, very true.
I don't know. In our marriages, I'm more of the stickler of, please write it down in my little ledger that I keep in the checkbook. We don't write a lot of checks, but that's where I keep like every purchase on the check card, because we don't use credit cards. But the check card, that's where I love to have it written down. Just please tell me when money goes out.
Yeah, right. And that's just it. You really want to know that, because I'm the one that does like the checkbook and the balancing and stuff. So,
Let's go quickly to line five here. We have a caller. You're on the air with the WIB Wake Up Show. What's your response to how much can you spend without checking with your spouse?
Hi, Caleb. This is Pastor John.
Hey, Pastor John.
42 years ago, my wife and I made an agreement, and it started with $25, and we've raised it all the way up to $50.
Well, you know, inflation, you have to take that into account. So,
but again,
we sit twice a month, and we do our budget book together.
Wow.
We do all bill paying, all expenses together. We know where every dollar is. We share everything intimately as far as our finances go, and there is nothing ever hidden or secret. And we have a $50 limit on spending anything without the other person being involved.
And I'm guessing that doesn't include like groceries and stuff, like not your, but the outside.
No, that's a budgeted item.
Yeah, yeah, the outside budgeted item.
Yeah, that money is assigned to that budget account with every paycheck.
Yep.
But if it's not a budgeted item, then we have a $50 limit.
So what do you think when you hear 400?
I think those people need financial counseling.
That's a lot, isn't it? Yeah.
Right.
And are you offering Financial Peace University at Calvary right now?
We do offer it, but it's not right now, but it will be this spring probably.
There you go. Dave Ramsey, be proud.
It's the
yep, you bet.
Thank you, Pastor John.
Working together. Thanks, John.
Speaking of, again, luxurious spending, I will eat my words. The longest yacht in the world is not three football fields. It is two. 592 feet and 8 inches.
Wow.
It's a really big boat.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's
a 3-hour tour.
Kumbaya, my Lord, kumbaya. Kumbaya, my Lord, kumbaya. Kumbaya, my Lord, kumbaya.
We could use some more kumbaya in
this
culture.
We really
could. We could use it. Yesterday, again, I like politics, sports, faith. Those are my three main areas of passion and interest. And so politics competitively, Bernie Sanders won the Nevada caucuses on Saturday. And we just had a poll in our news, top of the hour, in our regional news, that he's ahead in Wisconsin. Ours is April 7th. And so I just asked a question, and I carefully tried to word it yesterday on my personal Facebook page. If he goes on to win the Democratic nomination, who do you think Bernie Sanders will choose as his running mate? I just wanted to throw it out, and it was interesting. Some people answered honestly, legitimately, and then, I mean, all sorts of other that were not serious. I guess they were, and there was a good amount of bashing.
There was.
And it wasn't like, what do you think about Bernie as a socialist? That wasn't it. That wasn't the intention.
It was just, who do you think he'd choose?
So, anyhow, my wife then commented some on the commenters, but she is her own person and
clap
has her
back.
Own voice. Yes, yes. But I want to say, just, here's what I think. going back 40 years, when Reagan, who was on the right pretty solidly, took Bush, Bush was more of the moderate.
Yeah.
And I think that's the direction you have to go. If you're Bernie Sanders, you're not even a Democrat, really. You're a socialist.
Yes.
He calls himself a Democratic socialist. I mean, so you're going to go somebody, you need to attract the African-American vote. That's huge. Hillary didn't get enough of that in losing in 2016. And I don't know. Some people think Stacey Abrams, who lost in the governor's race in Georgia, she's African-American. Who knows? But keep your eye. I think that's it's an interesting political question. But again,
I was
the
surprised
field has to work itself
at the anger that resulted from the I was like, really, dude, it's just a question. It's a question.
I know. It was
just a question.
It was just a political question to wrestle with. But I really liked your Facebook post following Coco for a Cause on Friday.
Thank you. I'll go ahead and read it. I posted on Friday, this has been a terrible and heartbreaking week for Altoona residents. When bad things happen in my community, I try to counteract them by doing positive community service. That being said, I spent my afternoon volunteering for Cocoa for a Cause. We handed out cocoa and cookies for donation to Hope Gospel's Woman and Family Center. Our goal was to raise funds to buy an unmarked car to get homeless kids to and from school. I saw goodness and kindness pouring out of people today. People were stopping by and donating and wanting nothing in return. There's beauty in service, and my heart is more at peace because of it. Yes,
no,
truly.
It's beautiful. Beautiful
truly.
Post.
And that's what I do. That is truly, guys, when bad things happen, I find some place to serve.
Mm-hmm. We've been talking a little bit about Mr. Rogers this morning and Mark seeing the film finally, and I still have yet to see it. But thinking about what a famous quote that's at least attributed to him when talking about his mother comforting him as a child when he would see dark and scary things on the news, and she would say, "Look for the helpers." Because there's always someone helping. And so that's what you look for in those times of darkness and tragedies. Look for those who are helping, who are reflecting. Reflecting the ultimate servant, the ultimate giver.
In a Milky Way makes me look like a piece of dust on the road. But the Milky Way is a speck of dust compared to my Lord. That's how big he is. That's how big he is. And I don't know that much about astronauts, but I know that Jesus cares an awful lot.
Speaking of throwbacks, I love this song.
That's a great song.
FFH.
Well, speaking of astronauts and space, have you heard the latest out of the space community? So some of you may or may not know your star constellations, formations, star names as well. So let me help you.
Please.
Constellation Orion.
Yes.
In the night sky.
Has a famous belt.
It has a famous belt. A lot of people can identify Orion. Well, one of the stars in his shoulder is actually a star called Betelgeuse. Okay?
Betelgeuse.
Ah! Yes. So the star Betelgeuse is in the constellation of Orion, and astronomers have been keeping a close eye on that star because at the end of last year, it started to dramatically dim.
Okay.
Currently, it was like 36% of its normal brightness. So noticeable to the naked eye.
Sure.
So astronomers are like, what's going on here?
Yes.
Is this thing getting ready to go supernova? Whatever. To make matters even more interesting, new images of Betelgeuse's dimming surface reveal the star is changing shape.
Oh.
So also very interesting. Now, some sources are saying, and it has started to brighten again. So some sources are saying, well, it's starting to brighten. It's fine. But here's the really interesting thing, and this is what really made Caleb go aback. Here's the thing. The star Betelgeuse is very, very, very far away. We all know that, right? Well, get this. It takes about 650 years for the light of Betelgeuse to make it to Earth, where we can see it. So whatever we are currently watching happened in the past, and we're looking
so
back
crazy.
In time. Isn't that amazing?
Creation is just incredible. Like, the more we find out, the more we realize how little we know and, like, how big the finger of this creator is that could make
all of these. Yeah.
It's so amazing.
And the God that made the moon and stars made me, so I must be all right, right?
So, so incredible.
So, yeah, let's all go out and stare at the night sky and look back in time tonight, shall we?
Very, very cool. I love it. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Let's hear the rest of this tune from FFH.
Hey, this is Caleb from the WIB Wake Up Show. Thanks so much for taking a listen to this. You can catch the show live weekday mornings 5:30 to 9 a.m. on 103.7 FM out of Eau Claire, 94.3 FM in Wausau, 93.5 in Marshfield, 93.7 FM in La Crosse, and anywhere at WWIB.com or via the TuneIn Radio app or your Amazon Alexa and Google Home devices.